everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Timmy, his first. Christian, his 215th million. And who said this? Playoffs or die.
Aaron Boone.
Dallas Keuchel's mom. Mother Teresa is her name.
Oh.
Or maybe she said playoffs or die. Mother.
Whoa.
Her name really is Teresa, Mother Teresa. We're going to get to that in a bit. Quote, it didn't go well. The first reported phone conversation between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick this offseason. Aaron Garagian, Boston Herald reports. And this joins Garagian's report from last week. Quote, it's not looking good, end quote. So, Mina Kimes, let that marinate, let it germinate a little bit, all right? How are you hearing that?
I think it affirms a couple of things we already knew. One, Bill Belichick, probably not the best phone conversation.
Yes.
Gonna throw that out there. And two, it is very plausible that Tom Brady is not a New England Patriot next year. Now, as far as who wants what and who would benefit in that situation, I think it's all up in the air and depends on a lot of contingencies. New England would get an upgrade if they got Jimmy Garoppolo or Ryan Tannehill, I believe, but otherwise it would be bad. Tom Brady would upgrade if he went to San Francisco, Tennessee, or maybe in Indianapolis. That could be good for him. But unless any of those things happen, someone is going to be a big loser.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, man, there's some juicy stuff you just dropped there, especially San Francisco and New England exchanging their quarterbacks. But just imagine for a second how this phone conversation went. Why didn't it go well? Because Belichick wouldn't commit to Brady, because Brady won't commit to Belichick. What do you think?
Yeah, I imagine it's both of those things, to be honest. I mean, we know Tom Brady wants to explore free agency. We also know he wants to exert leverage on New England to add weapons around him, right, and give him a new deal. Bill Belichick would maybe not like to do those things.
Okay.
He has different concerns. He's looking at a longer term, I think, with New England, and it's possible that their incentives aren't exactly aligned.
I get that, but this isn't Love is Blind. I mean, these guys know each other for the last two decades. Tim Kalishaw, join us here. How do you hear bad phone call?
Tony, it didn't go well because Tom picked up the phone and said, "What's up, coach?" And Bill said, "We're on to Mariota. And that was kind of the end of the conversation there. So that was very disappointing for Tom. But realistically, it's March 4th. The Patriots season ended almost 2 months ago. If they really wanted him back, and he was in their plans, that would have either already happened or we'd be reading stories about negotiations being very close. We wouldn't just now hear they talked for the first time. So I got to think New England has moved on. That video the world watched of Tom at the basketball game saying, no, he's not, meaning he's not coming back. He's moved on. So naturally it didn't.
All right. Well, we did get the enhanced audio there. And no, he's not, was not what he said. He was answering a producer off camera who asked about Jim Boeheim. But this phone conversation yesterday between Belichick and Brady, maybe Syracuse had a game and Brady was preoccupied with the basketball game. Sarah Spain, how do you hear that didn't go well?
Yeah, I mean, I started out thinking there was no way Tom Brady wouldn't be back with the Patriots and that there was no way that Belichick was enough of a mercenary to actually apply the rules he's been using all along to Tom Brady. And now I think I was completely wrong. I think Belichick's side of the call probably was, you're just like everybody else. And we're over you. We get rid of guys before you're washed, not after. And we are already seeing the signs, so we're ready to move on. My reputation as a coach needs to move on with somebody else, and that's not what Brady wanted to hear. And then I think on the side of Brady, like Mina said, you get to go into free agency, have a little bit of leverage over other teams for once, actually go out looking for that big final payday. I think there are going to be some losers in this, and I think it's probably going to be Brady, because if he doesn't end up in the spot with the right offensive line and weapons and everything else, they can win now. We're going to see 43-year-old Brady, and how much longer is he anything that anyone
else? Frank Isola, your read on this first?
Yeah, I never wanted to believe that he wasn't coming back, but now it looks clear that he's not. And I still say that Bill Belichick has a lot of say in this, and maybe, you know, he probably doesn't want him back. If you look at Bill Belichick's history, it's always about getting rid of somebody a year too early as opposed to a year too late. Here's a 42-year-old quarterback. I'm sure they've been together in a relationship a long time, over 20 years. There does reach a point where, you know what, they just don't want to deal with each other. But I will say this. I'll bet you 5 years down the road, if Tom Brady hasn't won, he's going to say, you know what, I probably made a mistake. I should have finished out my career in New England. I think in the long run, he's going to regret it more than the Patriots.
Mina, you brought up San Francisco. Let's go back in there. We did the story after the Super Bowl. I think we did it because Bill Barnwell was on your podcast talking about it. But Brady to the Niners, Garoppolo back to the Pats. Who says no?
It makes sense for the Pats. It makes sense for Tom Brady. Gets to play behind a better offensive line with wide open receivers. It does not make sense for San Francisco. That is the thing that confuses me about this.
No,
I know everybody saw Jimmy Garoppolo struggle at the end of the Super Bowl, but if you look at the entire season, he was better, and it doesn't make sense.
I saw that you're shaking your head no. Kalishaw, you were naughty. Go ahead, Frank.
They all struggled at the end of the Super Bowl. If I'm the 49ers, I get it. For 1 year, maybe Tom Brady. I am not making this move. Bill Belichick will make it yesterday.
Tim, I couldn't read your reaction.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with Mina. San Francisco doesn't want to be good for another year with all their young players. They want to be good for 6 years. You got a lot better chance doing that with Garoppolo.
We'll move on. NBA last night. Tim Duncan, 1,158 career wins as a player and one as a head coach now. Though that win goes on Greg Popovich's career ledger. 17-point comeback in this one. A tight finish. The history of all-time players who would go on to coach. Duncan's got to be pretty high on that list, right? Magic did it. Bird did it. Russell also on that list. But this side of the story as well to consider. NBA fans wondering why Becky Hammon isn't the Spurs acting head coach. Mike Sykes wrote that up for the win. At least some fans were wondering. Some weren't. Some became experts on the assistant coach hierarchy as it pertains to scouting protocol, it seems. And some became experts on women's coaches in men's leagues and whether an acting title for one game would take away the potential history in the future of a full-time position. Sarah Spade, I'll start with you. What was the story last night to you?
Two things that stood out to me was how many people did want to see Becky Hammon and immediately heard the news and were like, oh, why isn't she doing this? As opposed to even just a couple years ago when the conversation was that no woman could ever be listened to and respected by the players. We've already evolved enough that there are plenty of people that wanted to see her do this. And then I do agree with the people who actually were diving in and saying that the last time this happened and Pop was out, he explained that because Duncan had been the one to scout that team, he technically would be the head man, but they would work sort of in community. And that's exactly what it seemed like happened again. Perhaps, we don't know for sure, but perhaps Duncan scouted this team and then he works with the other player, assistants and coaches together, even though he's technically the head guy for
Frank
that
Isola.
Game.
I'm not buying it. Torre Messina, you know, for a number of years when Popovich would get ejected, he would take over. So they did once have a designated guy. Sarah's right, though. That was the Spurs' explanation. Will Hardy is another guy that one day could be an NBA head coach, and I think Becky Hammon will as well. To me, it's two things. Maybe the Spurs don't think she's going to be the successor to Greg Popovich. And also, let's remember, this is Tim Duncan we're talking about. Everything that the Spurs have is because of two players, David Robinson and Tim Duncan. With him on that bench, maybe Greg Popovich just felt more comfortable. I know him better than any of the other coaches. He's going to be the guy in charge.
Okay. But you also said before that you think maybe this is a peek into a window that the Spurs don't believe Becky Hammon is their coach of the future.
Yeah, that could be it, you know, because they were the ones willing to take the leap to hire her. It doesn't, you know, a lot of teams have assistant coaches who get jobs, head coaching jobs on other teams. Maybe that's what the Spurs are thinking. Maybe they don't want to give her the job just yet like everyone else wants.
Mina Kimes, how'd you read this?
I think it's kind of a shame that Duncan and Hammond are getting pitted against each other, right?
Yeah.
Because they're both really phenomenal stories and could be great head coaches in the NBA. I would posit that we don't really understand from the outside the Spurs' decision-making and all this. Sarah's right. When that happened against the Blazers, when Pop was ejected, everybody was upset until the Spurs gave us their explanation for their process, how they run their committee of assistants. And I imagine that might be the case here as well. Now, I realize if this was any other team, like the Knicks, we wouldn't give them that same benefit of the doubt and say it's the Spurs, they have a process. But they have earned, I think, that benefit of the doubt.
Jim Kalischer, how about you? Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think a lot of this is about Tim Duncan, and it has to be. And just think how many true superstars who win five rings are ever going to be an assistant coach. You think LeBron James is ever going to be an assistant coach on an NBA staff? I don't think that's going to happen.
And I think as far as the Becky Hammon part, on most of the teams he's on.
He's the head coach, really. On most
he's
of the
head coach.
The Becky Hammon part, they could have done that and it would have been fine, but it might have felt a little like a gimmick, like it's a one or two game thing, and then she goes back to where she's been. She or somebody or Nancy Lieberman could have done it a couple years ago. Somebody's going to break through in a legitimate way, and maybe that's the best way to do it.
You wanted to add something?
And I agree completely here. You know, if it's Tim Duncan, if that was Will Hardy, you're thinking, wow, where did Will Hardy come from? Out of nowhere, ahead of Becky Hammon. It's Tim Duncan. That is the biggest name in the history of that organization.
One more NBA story to talk about from last night right here. T-Wolves Pelican. Minnesota won this one by 5. So we look at the 8-seed standings right now. Pelicans are 4 games out and 4 teams are ahead of them. The Pelicans say they're now going to play Zion back-to-back nights, which they originally said they wouldn't, but he's looking healthy and looking good. And tonight, Timmy, your Mavs versus the Pelicans. This is Zion and Luka. Get me to a TV. Kalischer, we'll start with you. Right call, and is it worth it for New Orleans to try to make a run here for the 8th seed?
I think it's the right call. I mean, I think it's a team that's trying. It's not a team that's is afraid of the moment and is going to sit him, and you know, they'll know if he's okay. And, you know, he would have missed all the games against Luka. He missed the first 3 when he was hurt, so it was possible they weren't going to face each other at all. But the way he's been playing, I mean, I think they feel like they got to get him out there. They got to keep trying to win games.
I'm absolutely all for it. I think the Pelicans can and should be going for that 8th seed. They can because they have the 3rd easiest schedule. They've been the 3rd best offense by points per game since Zion came back. And yes, the Lakers will probably beat them, although anyone who watched them play, it was an excellent game. But it's good for this young core to get playoff experience no matter
Frank?
What.
I still can't go over the fact that on Super Tuesday, Zion can't win Minnesota. I mean, give me a break. That's one of the worst teams in the league. But you know what? They're not traveling to Dallas by stagecoach. What is the big deal? Players play back-to-back all the time. He did it a couple of times at Duke. I get it. It's the first time as an NBA player. We're making way too big of a deal over it. He can certainly handle it.
Can you imagine the horse that they would have to be under Zion to be able to carry? I mean, that'd be like a Clydesdale Strong. Plus. I mean, go ahead, Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I think we need to give this team the benefit of the doubt because they showed a ton of caution in bringing him in so late in the season, despite all of the hype around him. So if they now are looking at him and saying, he looks good, he feels good, he'll let us know if things don't feel right, then why not do this? And it does make a difference what team you're talking about. You know, for some other teams, getting that 7th or 8th seed isn't worth, you know, that push. But the Pelicans have to make up for a half a season lost with their superstar and some fan base that was kind of disappointed about Anthony Davis wanting out. So I think it's worth it.
All right. Tonight, Zion versus Luka. You guys have made a career around building imaginary teams, and the guy you'd build the imaginary team around, Luka 21, Zion 19. Frank, who would you rather build a team around who has a higher ceiling?
Because of injuries, I would take Luka. That would be my guy.
Sarah Spain?
Luka for longevity.
Tim Kalischer?
In the modern game, I'm building around the guy with the ball in his hands, Luka Doncic.
Nina Kimes.
I go Luka too, but Zion I think has the higher seed.
That's great. That's wonderful. You all went Luka over Zion. I'll remember that. This gives me something to work on going forward. Fire Cell next.
20 years.
Yeah. Around the Horn is brought to you by Alka-Seltzer Plus for fast cold relief. Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Christian Yelich's extension with the Milwaukee Brewers, $215 million to keep him brewing through age 37 season. He was 3 years away from his free agency offseason. Mina, buy or sell Yelich agreeing to it? Buy or sell the Brewers committed to it?
I'm not selling either of them. The only person or, I guess, figure in this that I'm selling would be the Marlins, because holy smokes, do they make a big mistake. This dates back, of course, to Christian Yelich's decision to sign that extension before arbitration after his first two seasons, the Marlins, which were very good, and set him on a path where he would have to take a discount. And I don't blame him for choosing financial security, even if he would have made a way bigger amount of money if he had reached
free. Tim Kalshaw?
Yeah, certainly buy it from the Brewers' standpoint. They got a bargain. As for Yelich, I guess the concern was with them having an option in 2022, he would have been 31 when he became a free agent. And that's an age teams shy away from. It's a big difference when you're Rendon and you make it 2 years ahead of time. I don't think he would have got that size of a contract. He might have got more, but if he likes it in Milwaukee, hey, more power to him.
Spain.
This has been a trend in baseball. Get a guy locked up earlier before he gets to his peak and starts going downhill. And like Tim said, on the wrong side of 30, right now he's coming off spectacular seasons. So with 3 years ahead of him where he knows he doesn't have control, why wait that long? And perhaps there's injury, maybe his play goes down. He's hot right now. I don't think he gave up that much money in this deal. I think it's good for both.
And Frank Isola.
No, Sarah, you're 100% right. You go for the money now. First of all, he plays in a hitter-friendly ballpark, number one. Number two, you know, if you're the Brewers, a small market team, you want to lock up a guy like this. And who knows, 2 years down the road, you lose a little bit of bat speed, then you're really not going to start making the big money. It was smart to sign now.
Buy or sell to Princeton and Marshawn Lynch. This might be a little sports adjacent, but let's talk about this. Beast Mode selected as Class A speaker. Quote, he prioritized community engagement and empowerment by leveraging his prominence as a professional athlete to promote opportunities for civic engagement and social justice. That's what the school said in their release while announcing it. However, an op-ed in the Princetonian, written by an unnamed number of students, were granted anonymity for what was described as credible safety concerns. They detailed how disappointed they were with the choice and how opaque it was and how paradoxical it was that they were not included in the process, and also how Lynch doesn't share a connection with the Princeton class. Tim Kalashaw, how do you hear the Princeton students' issue here?
You know, I'll say this. It's certainly an off-the-wall choice, as little as we've heard him speak through the years. And, you know, I've always thought the Super Bowl stuff that really got turned into, oh, he's so clever. It wasn't clever or funny. It was just annoying. I don't think he should have to talk. That's a stupid rule the league made. But those sessions weren't fun. He does great stuff in the community. I guess that's why they're having him. I'd have no idea what he has to say.
Darius Bean.
He is very beloved in the sports world. He's quirky and fun, and he does amazing stuff in the community. But when you hear about students who have not heard of him, Googling him and learning that he doesn't want to talk, and then when he does, it's about your chickens and your mentals, maybe for them it doesn't feel like an appropriate choice. I'm not saying it won't be great, but I understand where some of them are coming from when they're saying, we Googled him and all we heard was he gets fined all the time for not talking.
Right, guys, Isola?
That definitely has a lot to do with it. I think they were being very polite in that letter. Also, if you Google him, he was suspended once by the NFL for carrying illegal guns. So I think the students, in a very politically correct way, are trying to say maybe somebody else would have been better.
All right, Mina Kimes, I see by the angle of your face here, this is one of your favorite players if you've ever covered. I recognize that. Are you there to hear Marshall Lynch give this speech?
For sure, I'm buying him, but I am selling this story, right? It was characterized as Princeton students don't want Marshawn Lynch. It's like five kids, guys. We do this every time. We take five college students being upset about something and writing an op-ed and turn it into an excuse to dunk on an entire, you know, school. I think it's ridiculous. It's not a real story. Let it go.
All right, not a real story? Then we don't need to give any more points to that story. Ooh, that's unfortunate for you, Mina, guys. Mina, before we go, we have Zion and Luca tonight. We talked about it last segment, but you wrote a feature on each player before they became pros. And one of the details in each of those were eating habits. Who do you think has the better eating habits today?
I think Luka. He's slimmed down quite a bit since he entered the league.
All right. Mina Kimes will let that be her last word
Tim
today.
Duncan.
Sarah Spain also taking a front row seat to a Tim Kalashaw Frank Isola showdown. Two enter, only one will leave.
Showdown right there.
2 minutes.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Kalashaw Isola, fun with numbers in showdown. 51 points the Nets scored in the fourth quarter versus Boston last night. 51 points for Caris LeVert for the game. 37 in the fourth quarter in overtime. And in the overtime, the Celtics scored two. So, Tim, what's the biggest number? 51, 51, 37, or two?
It's the second 51. It's the 51 the Nets scored in the fourth quarter. I mean, Boston, you know, a team with a history of playing great defense to close out games. How do you give up 51 in the fourth quarter?
Tim, Caris LeVert scored 37 of his 51 in the fourth quarter in overtime. If LeBron did that, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Zion, we'd be writing poems about them. Nobody's making a big... That's one of the best performances the last 20 years in the NBA. Cut the kid some slack here. Come on.
Point Isola. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Look at this sweatshirt. Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue. That's the sweatshirt. Who's wearing it? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Who's on the opposite side of the bench? Assistant coach Tyronn Lue of the Clippers. So he wore that to the arena in Tyronn Lue's face. Fair or foul, Frank?
Well, you know what? The Clippers won the game. I think it's a little foul because they did spend a little time together last year in L.A. Shai, come on. I love you as a player. But poor Tyronn Lue. Cut him some slack here.
You know, I think it's fine. They did, as Frank said, they did overlap their time in the Clippers. And if Caris LeVert did this, yeah, Frank would be writing poems about him. You know, this is the kind of move that
he scored 50.
Right. I like the comparative poetry that we're doing here. I like this. Poy Callis Show, Showdown 3. Playoffs or die. Bleep. I'm not gonna get us in trouble again. Dallas Keuchel's mom, Teresa, was at a dinner for 125 White Sox players, staff, and family that Dallas, her son, picked up the tab for. It was $25,000, the tab, by the way, in this Bob Nightingale piece for you today. But mom said playoffs or die. Tim, will it be worth it if the White Sox don't die but make the playoffs, that $25,000 dinner?
Yes, and they're not going to die, and they are going to make the playoffs, so I'm going to give credit to mom here. It's nice of Dallas to spend $25,000, but he can afford that. Mom, put it out there for him. Let's go get it.
That is a great thing to do. We heard so much about the White Sox, maybe a bit of a cheap organization. $25,000 to take your teammates out to dinner? That is a nice gesture. That's a way to ingratiate yourself. Smart move.
Whole organization. Wasn't just the team. Frank Isola, I'm going to ingratiate you to 30 seconds.
There we go. Well, we've heard so much about Joe Burrow at the scouting combine. Apparently, he's got small hands. Maybe that's a big deal. I know another thing. He's got a pretty big brain because now the media wants to compare him to Tom Brady. And Joe Burrow, credit to you, you didn't take the bait. You said, do not compare me to the greatest of all time. And guess what? As of this moment, they don't compare. Joe Burrow won the Heisman. He won a national championship. Tom Brady didn't do that. You'll get your chance to prove it. Don't get sucked in.
All right.
Man.
Fred said, don't compare yourself to the greatest of all time because you're better than him. That's what you just said, Isola.
As a college player.
We're in a 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow on the horn.
We'll target.